Ever wonder why you feel like a complete zombie when your alarm goes off after 8 hours, if you're even lucky enough to get that much sleep? As college students, it feels almost impossible for us to get enough sleep. We're constantly told to get 8 hours, but is that really the magic number? Did you know that throughout the night, your body cycles through periods of light sleep and very deep sleep? Most people's sleep cycles tend to last 90 minutes, so if you aim for 8 hours, your alarm is likely to go off just as you're diving into deeper sleep. Try aiming for 7.5 hours of sleep and see how you feel in the morning. If you feel great, you probably nailed it and found your sleep cycle. If you don't feel perfect just yet, test out an 85 or 95 minute sleep cycle instead. Not only will you feel great in the mornings once you discover your magic number, you'll also add about 30 minutes of valuable time to your day.
J-Files, New Music Friday. For the semester. Hey, and you ain't getting rid of me that easily. I'll be back next year. Don't worry. But oh my gosh. Man, it has been heck of a ride. It is the last one of the semester. First of all, congratulations to all of my UMD students for completing a semester for the last day of classes. Don't get it twisted, though. We still got another week because we got to do them exams. But I just want to congratulate all the students at UMD for completing a semester. Hopefully it was great. And to my seniors, shout out to Will. Shout out to Carissa. Shout out to all my favorite seniors that I'm leaving out. You guys did it. You guys are done. You guys about to walk. And, man, that's going to be me next year. Lord, I'm getting old. These bones, Lord, man, it's been a time. So we're going to get into it. Today is the final J-Files New Music Friday for the first time ever. Come on, y'all. Give me a hand clap for that, y'all. I'm waiting for y'all to start clapping. There you go. Thank you. Okay, it's in and out. There you go. Thank you. All right, so yeah, so we're going to get into it. We got lots of hot takes for y'all. Man, it's going to be crazy. I'm going to announce my special guest a little bit later into the show, but we're going to get into some new music, shall we? We shall, exactly. This is the J-Files New Music Friday on WMUC 90.5 FM and digital. Let's get into it. Battle of /42. Helps to ease the pain. Don't really care if I'm the one you play. Cause when it comes down to it, it's a long.
only world. And when it comes down to
So the music really gonna make me upset. And you know what? I blame University of Maryland Wi-Fi because they tried to shut down the J Files New Music Friday, but they ain't gonna shut me down. The hackers done got Canva. They not gonna hack me. Exactly. All right. Lord, we just gonna have to go straight into the hot topics. Let's get into it. So I am here with Wade Dennis, Big Dog. Big Dog Wade, he back. Let's go. Which one? Which mic are you, Big Dog?
I'm like two.
There we go.
Mic two.
Exactly. So give me a test real quick, Wade. Introduce yourself.
What's up, what's up? My name is Wade.
Talk one more time, King.
My name is Wade.
There we go.
Oh, you can hear me now. I'm on the air.
Yes.
How y'all doing today?
They're good because they can hear you.
That's good. That's good. Finally, last time you couldn't hear me.
We had to share a mic, and it's okay.
That's what's funny. That's how J Files gets everything right.
Lord, the J Files tries because UMD doesn't want me to succeed. But again, it's okay. So, do you got some hot topics for me? Hot takes?
Hey, let's let you start off. Let's let you start off.
He got the list. Okay, so my first take is that streaming has ruined the music industry.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree.
Very good. Tell me why you agree.
I mean, if you really think about it, how streaming has changed the game is it's made it not about actual item physical sales and more about streams. So it actually, honestly, free streams.
Okay.
But to an extent, each stream is worth less than a CD.
Correct.
Much less, like maybe 1% is a stream. So that has actually, I wouldn't even say decentified artist, but more made their work almost worth less to people.
Yeah.
Because you have so much of it now.
Right.
It was with CDs, you had to get the CDs printed, you had to get it in stores, you had a label to get it like commercialized. But now anybody can drop.
Right.
And that's a good thing and a bad thing. Like people can make music, but at the same time, that is so much more. It's just about worth less. Supply and demand kind of thing.
Do you see any like positive? You probably can, but what are like some positives for like the streaming era of music?
Well, I mean, anybody can make music. There's so much more creativity that's flowing nowadays when people are just throwing things at the wall and seeing what fits.
Right.
Certain sounds, like honestly, everything that transpired from like Uzi, Playboi Carti, that whole realm wouldn't exist without streaming.
Right.
And honestly, sampling's gotten better too.
Yeah.
If you look at Kanye, he was about the beginning of that streaming era. He kind of ushered it in, and just seeing how much he actually impacted the game, I don't think it would have been the same if he was on CD.
Yeah. I think I definitely agree, because I feel like, and not even, because like then it goes into the old Billboard charts. And if you don't want me to talk about that, because I'll go into my second thing about the Billboard charts need to go.
Oh, 100%.
They need to go, or they just don't need people to be having access to see it, because people are just so worried about numbers these days. Artists are worried about numbers. They worry about hitting the number one, and like it's just like crazy. And so like kind of going back to the streaming thing, like you know. The way that the charts works now is like streaming is heavily inspired. And so I always do say, and people, you know, people can say whatever I said. I hate, it's like, now I don't even know the girl, but I don't like Taylor Swift because she knows what she's doing with the streams. She knows that she has fans. And that also goes into fandom. Like you, fans, they will stream up their artist stuff and then get it and then just blow it up. And it's not an accurate vision of what people are listening to these days.
No, it isn't. And at the same time, you're getting people that are making songs to trend.
Correct.
Like one of J. Cole's like things that he hates the most is from his first album, if I remember correctly, was Workout. Because it was a trendy song. Right. It was a radio song.
Right.
But that idea of a radio song is even worse when you look at streaming.
Mm.
TikTok songs, a perfect example of that. You have songs that sound good for maybe 5 to 10 seconds.
Right.
And after that, it's like, what am I listening to?
Right.
It's trying to get that click, that engagement immediately. That's about it.
Right. Yeah. And like with the billboards, it just makes me upset because, like, you know, then it's gonna go into, I guess, my second claim, even though it had nothing to do with it. Well, it had something to do with it. It's like, billboards, like, you know, they like, you know, of course they fluctuate the rules often.
Oh, on that note, YouTube streams do not count for
they don't count
sales anymore.
They don't count.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. But I wonder what, like, how big of an impact did YouTube have on it?
Well, all free music, all free, like, the only way to stream a song now is paid.
Well, yes.
Except for maybe Pandora, but you can't even control that.
Well, no, people can listen to music. It just doesn't count for the billboard, though.
Exactly. Okay. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Is that you now have a pay block to then also pay these artists. Like, it's more steps in the process where they're not getting paid.
Right.
And Spotify is the worst about this. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's why people join Apple Music, because it's superior. It's been superior. Apple's been superior. 100%. Drop your Samsungs, guys. It's Apple. Anyways. Billboard, it's like the things that heavily impact the charts is streams and radio. Yeah. And like, you know, people are like, and I feel like, again, these are just not accurate likenesses of what people are actually listening to, I think. And like, you know, this is, and I guess I'm going into too many things. I'm about to go into another claim. Anyways.
Let's hear it. I'm ready.
It was just going to be about country music.
Let's hear it.
And like how I think country music is overhated.
Oh, I fully agree.
I think country
music. We're on the same page today.
We are. I think country music is overhated because because I think people just assume or put conservatism and political views with music, and that's not true. We can go, and then, like, you know, I guess people find country with like Beyonce, and which is good, you know, shout out to B, you know, she put it back on the map, I guess. But like country music, I think, is, along with hip hop and rap, has one of the best lyricists in the game, because it's based on that's where soul came from. That's where blues came from.
We're not going to talk about how all music is black music, but
it's just going to be two people agreeing if we did that. So it's just like, you know, but I say that all to say, like, you know, but I think the caveat with country music is that, like, it has a huge following and it relies on radio. And that's why you see, and that's like kind of my gripe with the billboards, like, you always see country artists, and I just hate Morgan Wallen. I can say that I don't like Morgan Wallen, and but then he dominates the charts because they just keep replaying his songs on the radio in Nashville, in the South, in the Midwest, and that's getting him like these, like, people making them seem like blowing him up even more. So that's my take.
And I think that goes back to the idea of streaming, because like now, the great thing about streaming is that you got to curate what songs that you wanted to listen to.
Right.
You became your own curator. The power was given back to the people when it came to music.
Right.
But slowly and slowly, the industry is taking that away.
Right.
It's taking away what people like, what people want to like, and what people have the opportunity to like.
Right.
And I don't think that's good for music.
It's not. All right. That's good. I like this. Now, I'm going to let you drop something that's going to make me yell at you, big dog.
Ooh, I don't know. I'm going to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
And this might get me yelled at.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the current state of female rap?
Ooh, I love it. I love this. I wrote a whole paper on this.
Let's
actually
hear it.
For English. I think that female rap, honestly, it is at a new level of success. And I think that female rap is growing. I feel like we can talk about, like, you know, I know a lot of people say, like, oh, female rap, they all they talk about is their bodies, sex, and all this. But then when I did a paper about this, female rap, this is a new wave of feminism. And like back in the day, we had like Queen Latifah, Rhapsody. They were showing feminism through like their words, their wordplay, or trying to show that they can be as good as the men. They like, you know, they're not going to tolerate no man disrespecting them. That's the way they show feminism. But then now they're taking a new wave of like bodily autonomy. And so like, you know, them talking about their bodies, like, you know, first of all, I just want to say it didn't even start with Cardi B and Nicki Minaj and Megan Thee Stallion. No, it started with Trina. Love me some Trina. She the baddest. What's it called? Trina.
It's me.
Yeah, okay. Because Trina, it didn't start with what's it called? It started with Trina and Lil' Kim. And so then literally what's it called? I think Cardi B, like, you know, I always say, like, with WAP, that was a time, that was like a stance on, like, because that was also during the time of, like, you know, with pro-life and pro-choice, that was a big thing going on. And so she put that song on because she knew the Congress people were going to get upset, and they, guess what, they got upset, and guess what, it rose to the number one chart. It stayed there and is one of her most popular songs, but it's based on bodily autonomy and taking control.
My mom wanted to listen, and, you know,
I'm crying.
I tell you, you more listeners, you know.
Yes. Go ahead. WMUC.UMD.EDU. And then just click that play button when you see the J Files New Music Friday on the website. All right. Back to it. So, yeah, what you think?
Female rap. It's a double-edged sword. But I feel like this is the same with any form of rap or hip-hop. Distinction between rap and hip-hop is important, because if you look at current artists, like, one that stands out immediately is Doechii. She is doing a great job of what you were saying, like, kind of
Doechii
perverting the expectation,
right,
and flipping things on their heads. She's right. Doing a great job of that,
right?
But honestly, I would say there's another end of it that's misinterpreting that purpose. That's thinking it's just for the body, it's just for the guys, it's just for the look, it's just for the sexual appeal. And that's my issue, is that they both exist, but they're overlapping too much, in my opinion.
I feel like, but like, this is a but it's like women are taking control of their bodies, because, again, you have these men talking about women all the time, calling them out of them, out of their names, talking about what they're going to do with them. Like, I love Biggie, and he'd be explicit, and I love the song, but then I can't be hypocritical and see a woman rap about the same thing about her sexual pleasures and her body.
No, yeah.
And be like, oh, that's bad. Nah, I'm listening to Biggie, I'm listening to Tupac, I'm listening to Jay-Z. Yeah.
Trust, I don't love it when anybody does it.
Okay.
That's the underlying issue.
I rock with that.
But it always does bother me with the over-sexualization of things. Especially coming from women, not because of they're held to a higher standard necessarily, but because they are the protectors of oneself, right? I feel like there should be a level of self-protection, I don't even want to use respect, but like that level of self-protection in the fact that you are the owner of this, so use it wisely, kind of thing. That's just how I feel.
Yeah,
my views could be a little different, but again, there is a difference between something like something that's doing it in a great way and then something that's doing it in, honestly, feels like a poor way.
Yeah. I think it's just like, you know, when we have, I feel like I just like the way female rap is moving, because it's like, it's more, it's not becoming just female rap, it's coming rap in general.
It is.
And it's feeling whole. And so it's like same thing with like male rap, like, you know, not, and like, you know, some, like, not every rapper gonna be a conceptual rapper. And, like, you know, and sometimes I don't want to always listen to conceptual rap.
That's fair, yeah.
And so that's the same thing with female rap. It's like, you know, Doechii, I guess I call her conceptual.
I think
rap.
What it is mm-hmm. there's less of it. And that's why
today?
Yes. No, sorry. Let me clarify. There's less female rap than there is male rap.
I disagree.
You disagree?
I disagree. I think...
Because what I was going to say is that there's less female rap, so both are polarizing. They stand out a little bit more. But what is your take on that?
I disagree. I feel like there's so many female rappers that are coming, that are, like, out right now. And I, like, you know, and I shout out, and again, I shout out to Cardi B, because, like, I feel like Nicki Minaj, I always say Nicki Minaj inspired them, but Cardi B broke down the door. I feel like after Cardi B, there were so many rappers, Megan Thee Stallion, Doja Cat, Mona Leo, Flo Milli, Lotto.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Trim. I want to talk about that.
No.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, you're like, right. You're right.
It's just like, you know, you see these, like, I feel like on, like, and then we talk about TikTok. Yeah, I might not, like, you know, again, for my mind numbing, like, not looking for anything deep.
There's a purpose to everything, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like, you know, female rappers arise, rise, and fall. But I see that also in male rap on TikTok. They rise and then they fall.
You do.
So I don't know. I don't know.
I think it definitely comes from a perspective when you're looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, it's not necessarily a conversation of, oh, I don't want to. I want to see everybody succeed. That's what I want to see underlyingly. I'm just not, for me, when it comes to over-sexualization of things. Mm-hmm. I don't like that across the board when it comes to rap, music, and all that kind of stuff. Okay. That's the only reason it bothers me.
Right. Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Oh, right. I have another one for you.
Give me another one.
This is a UMD exclusive. UMD late night conversation.
Okay.
Central to UMD. Art Attack.
Crying.
It wasn't that good.
Yeah, I mean, I was not at Art Attack.
Oh.
But I did hear some things, and I did go to Art Attack last year.
Yes.
And it was also trife.
I don't think Art Attack, honestly, my favorite Art Attack was my freshman year when Smino came.
Really? Oh, Smino came. I wasn't here.
That was a great Art Attack. It was more intimate. It was smaller.
Okay.
But do you remember Kang?
Mm-mm.
Well, there was a couple of people, a music collective that came from UMD.
Okay.
And they all they make really good music. You should look them up. It's Kang. Mm-hmm. He had a trending song on TikTok. But they opened up. And then Smino came out and it just, the vibe was there the whole time.
Very.
I'm not liking this Art Attack where the vibe switches. I'm not.
I think with Art Attack, like when we went last year and my friend, we always laugh about this. First of all, like that was the first time I actually like listened to like a Raven Lenae song. This was like a little bit when like, Loves Me Not. I forgot what the song
No, I wasn't
called.
There, but I do like Raven Lenae.
Yeah, I that was the first time I heard it, and I was like, okay, she's sounding good.
Yeah.
And then Tizo Touchdown came out, and then I got irritated because he was just playing songs that nobody heard before. He was playing like some new stuff, and I'm like, new stuff, but then he still hasn't put out a new album, so then it's just like, what?
And maybe it's just the sign of the times and what we're dealing with when it comes to streaming, but... Like, I hear about these Art Attacks from years ago, like, and for those that don't know, Art Attack is our annual UMD concert.
Yep.
But it feels like we're not getting the artists that we want to anymore.
Mm.
Fetty Wap was cool, like, the name was cool, but how many Fetty Wap songs do you actually listen to on a monthly basis? Yearly, actually.
I said, hey, what's up, hello, sing you pretty.
That's the one I hear everybody singing. That's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. I definitely, like, you know, when Fetty Wap was blowing up, I was like, I mean, I guess that they, like, I like, can I get to the yams? Sweet. Yams.
Masego sang it better.
Ooh-wee. The
Masego definitely said it better, but it's okay.
I'm crying. Yeah. Yeah. They're definitely not catering to the student body. But then my thing is that, what is the student body listening and what
and
I want?
That's part of the conversation. Back to streaming. Nobody's listening to the same thing anymore.
Isn't that a good thing?
Like, it's a good and a bad thing. I always grew up looking at having a centralized view on things, like having people at the same time listen to the same thing. It creates a cultural atmosphere that everybody kind of understands. Mm-hmm. So, like, for example, when Not Like Us came out, everybody was on Not Like Us.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a synergy that happened with that.
Mm.
But now, like, especially this past year, there's been a few, but, like, what's really been bringing people together in that way?
Yes, but I feel like, the new music, the new artists, like, you know, it allows so many artists to come out and, like, make money off of things that they love. Mm-hmm. And so I think streaming, again, though, I think it kind of ruins the mindset of people in, like, the concept of, but I feel like it's mainly, like, when you have mainstream, mainly, like, my mm-hmm. concern is mainly with mainstream artists and manipulating their listeners, knowing that they're going to eat up and buy whatever they want, whereas when you have smaller listeners, they just try to make a living off of what mm-hmm. they love. And so then you have these smaller artists that, like, you know, maybe they might have, like, management, they might have, like, a little agency, but that's not their yeah. top priority, but yeah. they just putting out music that they feel like represents them. And but then streaming allows, like, all of, like, low underground artists to, like, just put their stuff out and, like, listen. And so, because sometimes, like, I'm just sitting here, I'm like, okay, like, I'm my playlist, I'm done, I've already listened to all my mm-hmm. favorite artists' music, and, like, I'm just looking for something new. And then I could just go on here and I can be like, okay, let me just put my Discover radio and see what I like and see what I listen yeah. to. And so, kind of like that thing.
And I don't like the algorithm. I don't like music algorithms. That's yeah. my hot take yeah. right now. I don't. Yeah. It traps you.
Yeah.
It really does, because, like, I'll try, at least on Apple Music, because I'll try to listen to, I'll be like, okay, I'm listening to music every day. But then I get to a point where I feel like, wait, where is my music taste? Is it this mm-hmm. limited?
Yeah.
And then I start looking through my old playlist or my library. I'm like, oh, wait, my music taste is expansive.
Right.
Why am I only listening to a small sliver?
Right. So then, okay. So then, yeah. I guess
it feels too predictive.
Right.
It's like it's predicting based off your trends, but if your trends shift and change with the seasons, with the times, with the years,
right,
it doesn't follow. It just keeps you in the same loop.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, I think I got another hot take then.
No, let's hear it.
Is music bad now, or are just people stuck in nostalgia?
Music has potentially gotten much worse.
I don't see people say that. And I feel, I'm laughing because he has his mom on FaceTime. She just nodding her head. Yes, no, it's stuck in the nostalgia, guys. We're stuck in the nostalgia. I feel like, yes, was music great in the past? Yes, most definitely. Is music still great now? Yes. Yes, it is. It's kind of like the same thing was like, is R&B dead? No, people just want to give you the perception that R&B is dead. Because of the sales are low.
Well, okay. I see what you're saying. I see that specific table, R&B is dead. I can get behind that. How they're just doing it because sales are low. Cool. But how many times have you just been listening to music and you discover an old song? One that was trending back then, but you had never listened to before. And you said, oh my God, this song's amazing.
But then is it because that it's like, you know, because the song is genuinely that good, which I assume it probably is, or it could be not. Or is it because it's vintage and people are liking vintage and people are liking nostalgia and they just want to listen to it?
I don't know. I listen to D'Angelo, Raphael Sadiq, Michael Jackson, even
you
Prince.
Don't
wanna, it's
I'm
like
to say something, but Michael
dang.
Jackson gonna be upset. I feel like, again, don't get me wrong, artists back then were great. I just think that people are so busy trying to recapture that nostalgia that they're really missing the new music that's out right now that is good and and grows off of the music from the past. I feel like when we have, I think also, again, with that nostalgia, it's either one, because it's in the past and like music was just is like emerging and like growing, because I don't want to say it's not a new concept, because music, of course, goes beyond like BC, but like it's like this type of like music of like, you know, instrumentation and access to multiple different people. It's fairly new. And so then when you have something like, you know, back then, it's like, oh, this is innovative. This is new. This is brand new. And then now we're just growing off. It was like, oh, this isn't new. But it is new. It's just growing off of the new stuff. But I say that today. But then also I go into the vintage thing about nostalgia, is that nostalgia, it's kind of like art. When the painter dies, it's going to go up in value. So it's like, so you have all these artists, like, you know, Prince, you have Michael Jackson,
don't
you have
this.
Whitney.
Don't
you
do
have,
this.
And not saying that their music is bad, because
no.
I would never say that. But,
no.
I'm going to say this. Like, you know, I think I would say that Beyonce is a legend. Right. I think she's a living legend. But hold on. She's a living legend. But then because she's not, but then I feel like people would have to wait till she's passed on and dead to really understand, like, to really feel that impact.
Ooh, you're about to hate my hot take.
I'm
not going to lie. Like, even if it wasn't, like, even if you just took the backing tracks, no vocals, any Michael Jackson song, any Prince song, any Whitney Houston song, any Alicia Keys, Mariah Carey song will sweep Beyonce.
Ooh, 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 that's bad. Oh, no.
I don't know. I just think when I listen to Beyonce, she's good. Don't get me wrong. She's legendary for the time, but she doesn't compare to someone. She's not in the same conversation as someone like Michael Jackson.
Ooh, that's hot. I disagree.
She doesn't. She's not a musician. No, wait, hold on. Let me clarify. Before I say that, she makes good music, but she's more of an entertainer. She puts on a show. That's what she does.
Oh, I disagree.
No, like, she makes good music.
Uh-huh.
She does good art. She makes good shows. She does good movies. Like, she does the art. She's an artist. She's an entertainer. But when it comes to the, like, the intricacies of music, she's not the best out there.
You can say that about Michael. You can say that about Michael.
No,
he's mainly an entertainer. He's big on entertainment. His vocals are good. His vocals, but... Technically, Beyonce is better than Michael, because technically,
I don't agree.
Yes, technically,
better than Michael
vocally,
Jackson?
Yes, vocally, yes. And then I think, I say all this to say that I don't discredit Michael Jackson, because he was, like, you know, he set the pavement for Beyonce, and he set the pavement for multiple musicians. But I say this. Beyonce, she's just an entertainer. She has made consistent hits with every album. But then, guess what? She stopped. She put a pause on those consistent hits and said, you know what? I'm going to take y'all through a history lesson. We're going to focus on quality over quantity. Put out Lemonade, focus on the cultural, and change
her
the
last
game.
Good album.
Huh?
Whoa. Lemonade was her best album.
Okay, that's an argument. But I think, Lemonade changed the course of how people perceived her, and made a cultural reset with Lemonade, and how people, again, like I say, how people perceive her, then backs it up with goes into history of disco and house.
I hate to cut you off, but the idea of a cultural reset,
yes.
That may be a cultural refresh, but when it comes to cultural reset, like, even Kanye had a cultural reset.
Okay.
Like, the College Dropout was probably bigger than any Beyonce album.
Ooh.
Michael Jackson's Thriller changed how people perceived music. Like, I want you to know that. Like, Michael Jackson didn't just, like, make music. He didn't just make good music. He wasn't just a singer. Like, he literally changed how music functioned. Like, he was one of the first artists to actually own their own masters. Fought long and hard for that. He was intricately in the process. He's been singing since he was 8 years old. He's a master of the craft. He went from 8 to, like, 35 just singing.
I just
don't think Beyonce compares.
Again.
He was a child star.
He was talking about
one of the biggest Motown stars.
I feel like, again, it's based on, like, oh, he's the first. Yes, he's the first. And I think that's a major accomplishment. But I think we're getting stuck on, oh, because he's the first, he can't be critiqued and talked. Because, again, if we could stay in the back, if we won't go back, then I could say Prince is a better musician.
I actually don't fully disagree with that statement. I don't fully disagree with that statement.
Okay.
But I will say both of those artists are such a different artist than Beyonce. Like, it's just not, it's not comparable. Like,
it is, because I think performance wise, again, she got it from Michael, and she has changed, she has inspired a wave of artists today. And
I
think because she's not passed on and dead and still here, it's like she's still tangible.
Did you see Michael Jackson's Super Bowl performance? Have you watched it?
Yes, I have.
He's standing up there for 30, like, for a good, like, 5 minutes.
Yes.
Just standing. No, it was like 7 minutes, just standing. People are fainting, swooning.
Again,
he doesn't move a muscle.
Yes, and that's powerful. But guess what? The main reason is because, one, even in, like, his documentaries and all that, he kept out of the cameras. He kept out the he didn't do interviews. He mainly focused on the music, and the novelty of Michael Jackson of not even being tangible made him more appealing. That's what happened when Beyonce, when she stopped making music for a little while and didn't want to talk. Guess what?
People
Beyonce's back. And I'm using Beyonce as an example because I think it's the closest.
Like,
but
people
And then I'd say because she's a woman, but then we don't want to get into that.
That might have a factor in it, I'm not gonna lie. But when it comes to Beyonce, like, everybody don't listen to Beyonce the same way everybody listened to Michael Jackson.
Because she was, because of a specific genre. That's the only thing. It's based on genre as well. And I think it's a lot of things, like, oh, genre, she's a woman. And I think also she diverted from the generic pop R&B. She
went 4.2 billion fans. Michael Jackson. When there was 5 billion people on the planet Earth.
Oh, Lord. It's subjective. That's subjective. I'm just saying that I think Beyonce is definitely a legend, but then people don't want to give that. But then this is another thing. Like, people want to give legend status when they passed on. Why are we doing that?
I think
Beyonce is a legend. The way that she has impacted female artists in the industry, the way that she changed the game of when to release music. She changed the game. She did.
Who did that first?
Lord,
you know who did that first, though.
Again,
right?
The first, yes, I think that's impactful. But I think a lot of it is kind of just like based on time. It's based on who was the first, and then it's like we're in a social media age where it's like, again with Michael Jackson, the novelty and his music was really amazing, and it was like, and then the fact that he dropped the music. He went on tour. You'd never see him again until later in his life when he started doing more interviews and stuff like that. But then he did that, and then he but then you would never see him. And then the novelty of, like, not knowing where he's at, what's going on, until you see him pop up. That's like, and then no internet.
I have two things. Have you, nothing to you, have you listened to a whole Michael Jackson album?
Yes, I have.
You feel the intricacy of those albums.
Yes.
That's not even in music today.
I feel like no, there is.
Not in a large part. From most albums today.
Yes.
Like maybe 99.999% of albums.
Yes.
Do not touch the intricacies and the musicality that were in those albums, especially with Michael Jackson, Prince, Raphael Sadiq, like even like the Soulquarians, like Erykah Badu, like artists made music.
Again, I feel like we're just getting into the nostalgia that they were the first. And again, we give credit when credit is due. They are the first and they did pave the way. But then because we're so stuck in the nostalgia that we're not giving credit to these new artists that are performing and building off of that.
Well, I mean, me personally, mm-hmm. I didn't grow up listening to a lot of these songs,
mm-hmm.
whether it be old songs or new songs. Mm-hmm. I grew up listening to maybe the Ushers, the Bruno Mars, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The first couple artists, Beyonce was one of the first people mm-hmm. that I know about that I listened to. Besides like Michael Jackson, of course, mm-hmm. but like that kind of, to say nostalgia from that, I didn't grow up with that. I didn't mm-hmm. know that. And the music still speaks so much to me. Like, mm-hmm. for example, people don't write songs the same they used to write songs. They don't.
There's still so many excellent writers. Everything is just like based on mainstream. Now, if you said, I think people, they're not mainstream artists or they're not highlighting, which I think I blame mm-hmm. the industry, not the artists. I say the industry is not putting out artists.
That's
with,
true.
Lyrical capabilities like they did back then.
I'm cool with that. Because I feel like it's become more commercial. It's become more, I need trend. I need TikTok trends. I need Instagram trends. Mm-hmm. I need views. I need clicks. And I think on top of that, the idea of... That's why artists like Leon Thomas and Elmeen like mm-hmm. speak so much
mm-hmm.
to that personal aspect of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because... that's what they used to write about, personal stories, personal encounters. And I don't think they do that as much anymore.
Yeah, I think I agree. I just feel like to say that artists don't make powerful music, like I feel like Olivia Dean, that album was powerful. You could feel the emotion, maybe because it has the vintage sound, but it has powerful. Anti by Rihanna. Lord.
Yeah, that was a great album. I'm not gonna lie, that was good.
What's it called? Frank Ocean.
Yeah.
Powerful.
But Frank Ocean is, I don't even want to say underrated, but if he released more music, he might be a legend. I'm not gonna lie.
But he's a writing genius. He's a lyrical genius.
He writes.
And so, we have other lyrical genius, Kendrick, J. Cole. But then I think if I say, they're the best, that's an opinionated statement. But I think it's like, just because I say like, these artists are great, don't mean I love Nas.
Right. We're comparing apples to oranges. I feel like. Different genres have different styles of writing and different encounters. Mm-hmm. Like if you listen to New Edition or blanking on my head right now, but New Edition is very different than Beyonce.
Right.
Those two are very different contents of what they're writing about.
Right.
But this is my second point I was going to make earlier. Mm-hmm. Kanye will forever be bigger than Beyonce.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry. No, for his production, yes, and for some of his lyrics,
Kanye,
yes. But no,
low key I'm as sorry. A like,
I'm sorry.
Just Kanye as an entity, not as a person, as an entity, is bigger than Beyonce. Bigger than Beyonce.
I'm just gonna leave it right there.
You realize he just sold out. He sold out SoFi, I think it was. And that was the largest, like, the most, like, seats filled at any concert ever.
First female artist to sell out stadiums, making, I think, over $500 million
sold out each
show in a football stadium.
I don't disagree. Kanye literally just sold the most tickets ever.
Lord.
Like, he had the, ever.
And like, I'm not even getting into like, oh,
I
like
bet you every single person knows Kanye song.
I think, huh?
Every person
would know a Beyonce song.
That's true.
Yeah. But I'm gonna let you speak, and I'm gonna say my last one.
No, I'm done. Like, you say your last one.
Oh, y'all gonna hate me. Again, I think this goes into nostalgia, but I'm moving away from Michael, whatever. I think Alicia Keys is a much better musician than singer. And I think her and Mary J. Blige is more on the emotion that they convey in their music than vocal ability. I had an argument with my friend, with Carissa and Will. I'm going to shout them out. They seniors, big seniors. But they were like, oh, now you're tripping. I said, no, because are you stuck on that they are legends? Not legends. I don't want to throw that word. Are we stuck on that, oh, their music spoke to us and you felt something from them, from the actual critical analysis of like the music? Like Mary J. Blige, if you listen, first of all, she can't sing the best.
Did you feel something because they were crying in their vocals? Did you feel something because it spoke to you?
Bingo.
I agree. I'm not gonna lie. Because
Alicia Keys, like, I don't think that she can sing the best, but guess what? Don't take away that she can play a piano and a guitar and everything. Doesn't mean that she can't write
that
her
dude's name?
Butt off.
James Blunt? Is that his
yes.
name? Yeah, same kind of idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can subscribe to that.
Like, I think Mary J. I think she brought in the new wave of hip hop and R&B. But when I say she a dang great vocal, not
I'm not gonna lie,
great singer.
I think I haven't heard the name Mary J. Blige in like a good 2-3 years. If I hadn't said it,
but I say time did that.
Time definitely did that. But I feel like even like the legendary names stay.
Yeah.
Like, is
I'm about to say another hot take, real hot take.
Oh, let's see your hot take.
If I question Mariah Carey's health and her vocals, the way that she is singing today, only because I believe that she had a five octave vocal range. I believe that. I feel like she used that whistle note to impress the masses, and it shot her in the butt to where her vocals, she probably got a 2-octave range
maybe
now. And so I just question her vocal health. That's my hot take.
It wasn't really a hot take. It was just...
Yeah. It's just something I question. People don't like it. But yeah. What you got another
Yeah. Staying away from Kanye. One of the most creative producers right now is Tyler the Creator.
Okay.
I think Metro Boomin's really good.
I think, yeah.
I wouldn't call him necessarily... Like, of course he is creative, but I wouldn't call him innovative. At least from my perspective on him.
I could see that.
He's not like a Pharrell.
Oh, yes. No. Yeah.
Like Mustard, he was good for a couple songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's closer
that.
To Mustard than he is Pharrell.
Yes. I think it's just the, I guess this can go in my next one. Does multi faceted equate to, how good someone is? Meaning that just because someone can work with multiple different, genres, does that equivalent?
No, okay. It's the excellence and skill that it's carried out within.
Very good.
So if you look at something, I'm not gonna talk about Michael Jackson. I'm trying to get a new name. Oh, look at Pharrell.
Okay.
If you look at someone like Pharrell, he understands music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But I would always label him as more of a producer.
Right. Of course.
Than he is a singer.
Of course. I agree.
Honestly, same with Kanye. His lyrics aren't that good.
Right.
But the way he understands the flow of the song.
Of course.
Because he made it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
And that's what makes him great is his producing and his understanding of the song. But if you look at someone like Tyler, low key, he's the same kind of like vibe, but his like something about his vocals are unique.
Yeah.
And new.
Yeah.
And specific to him. Like, it's all producing. It's all producing skill. Like, to be honest.
Yeah.
But he is able to manipulate his voice in a certain type of way that almost makes it seem like he's like a great singer, which he's not.
Yeah.
He's not a great singer. Not a great. But he's actually a good rapper. I'm not going to lie.
I think he's a great rapper. I think he's a great lyricist. I think he's an awesome producer. I think I say that because, like, you know, I'm going to take it back to, like, you know, female rap. I feel like the reason why Nicki Minaj got as big as she was is because, well, one, because of timing and being like all the other rap women getting older. But I feel like she wouldn't have been as big if she stayed in the hip hop lane. Because just because she went into that super bass and went that pop and then went into that little rock and then went into that little R&B,
100%.
She got big because the women and men in general that stay in hip hop, it's because hip hop is a minority genre that doesn't get a lot of as compared to other artists.
That's why if you look at artists' biggest songs, it's like Tyler Creator. Earthquake is one of his biggest, maybe his biggest song.
Right.
See You Again. Like, those are poppy songs.
Yeah.
Like, there's very, very minimal rapping compared to all of his other songs.
Yeah.
Because he tapped into a different audience.
Yeah. And, like, I think it's like, you know, as communication, well, you're not communications, but as a communications major myself and, like, looking into advertising, I think it's like, you know, great PR. Like, yeah, tap into it. I want you to make that money. Get that money. But it's like, and then the songs are great. But then when we think about, like, you know, like I say with, like, Cardi B and like Doechii, but then Doechii does go into, like, you know, the house and the little pop.
Yeah.
But now that's because of her skin color. I've laid down on her skin. I feel like she's not as big as she wants as she is because of the color of her dark skin.
No, I think, yes, possibly, but also the state in which her career transpired was really weird. Mm. She had been making music since like 2016.
Right.
And it's like she didn't blow up to that 2023-4 timeline.
Right.
But she had so much controversy going into that.
Mm.
And she didn't follow up with the album for a long... She still hasn't.
Yeah, because it's the mixtape. She got big like 2024.
After Smino dropped Pro Freak.
Yes.
That was her first song I remember of her starting to, like, rap. Like, actually, like, rap.
Yeah. But she got bigger when she did
Alligator Bites.
And then with Down's the River. And I think she, and, like, it was so weird. And people say, like, oh, she an industry player. She didn't know industry player. She been in the game for as long as she was. And I feel like people don't know the difference between industry plant and just great marketing or pushing an artist. Top Dog, they pushed their artist. They put money behind her. And guess what? She got big. She got that nomination. She won that Grammy.
Which one's better, Top Dog or Dreamville?
Dreamville. But I feel like they've been... Well, I don't know how long Top Dog has been around, but I feel like Dreamville has just been around much longer and had
about the same, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah, Dreamville.
If not, Top Dog was longer.
Really?
I think so.
Well, then Dreamville, of course, because you know you have those big names, and then they had that collab album. That was good. I love that.
I think it's because Dreamville is genuine. It feels more genuine.
Interesting.
This is a family. You can see the love that is shared between all of them.
Yeah. I feel like that's what Top Dog is doing now, like, you know, the family thing with, like, SZA and like Kendrick and Doechii. So
I feel like Top Dog is more industry-led while Dreamville is more artist-led.
Mm.
And I think you could feel it. Like, even if you look at, like, Dreamville's biggest songs, they have, like, 3 or 4 albums.
Yeah.
That are all massively successful.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, 1993? Like, Stick? Like, Under the Sun? Like, there's so many to name. That was DaBaby's best verse.
Yep.
Ever.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
He's actually not. He might be underrated, I'm not going to lie. Not in his own music. DaBaby makes the same music on purpose. I wholeheartedly believe this.
Yeah.
He makes watered down songs on purpose.
Yeah.
But he can actually write.
I agree.
Like genuinely, if you hear, like, I think he wrote with Tyler for his album.
Really?
The Not Call Me If You Get Lost one after that.
What's it called? Why
are we forgetting?
Chromacopia.
He wrote on Chromacopia.
Interesting.
And it's fine. Like, what?
Yeah.
Tyler trusted DaBaby to write with him.
Right.
That means there must be something good there.
Must be. All right. Last one. What do you think about the state of R&B now? Make it quick. We got 4 minutes.
I mean, I think this is a simple one. It's reemerging. I don't think it.
Yes, on a positive note. Yeah.
It didn't die. Yeah. It went to hibernation. It lost itself for a second. Uh-huh. It went through its teenage years. That's what it does.
Yeah.
But it's coming into a point where it's like learning itself and like people are truly falling in love with R&B again.
Right. I think with R&B, people, kind of with the nostalgia thing, but R&B artists was just blowing. They were blowing. They were singing. But then I think, and like, doesn't mean that it's bad. It just means that it's, again, evolved that, like, you know, we don't, I won't say that we have a lot of, like, vocalists vocaling in these songs, but I think it's, like, the honesty that has come out of, and, like, less more of, like, studio and sounding more, like, vulnerable. SZA, Mariah the Scientist, even though I think she's a bird and she can't sing.
Can Brent Faiyaz sing?
Everyone can sing. It's just if they can sing good.
I think
he's better than Bryson.
I agree.
But like, you know, I think, but like,
is he better than T-Pain?
T-Pain can really sing.
I know.
T-Pain can really sing. Take that auto-tune away.
He can sing. He might be a better singer than Leon Thomas.
I disagree.
I don't think Leon Thomas is the best singer. He's not bad. Like, he's a good singer, but
I just think the auto-tune just doesn't help him.
It doesn't.
But I feel like, when, you know, I'm going to go back to the Victorious scene. When he was singing on that, he was singing.
Oh, yeah, he was.
So I think he really can sing. I don't know how technically good T-Pain is. I just know Leon Thomas can technically sing.
Oh, T-Pain can sing. Have you heard T-Pain sing?
Oh, yes. I've heard Tennessee Whiskey when he sang it. And it was like,
I heard that too.
Oh, Sookie. But
one more thing.
Mm-hmm. End it off.
Oh, Tennessee Whiskey. I hate that song. You know why I hate it?
Why?
Because it's a re-rapping of Etta James. Yes. Etta James' song.
Yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes.
What was it called again? I forget what it's called. It's not At Last.
Yes.
Is it At Last?
No.
But it's on that album.
Right.
But I hate it because it's like, I know we have like 3 seconds, but I hate it because like Tennessee Whiskey is a good song, but it made Etta James' song appealing to white people.
Right.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Don't like it.
Oh, it's the end. Goodbye.
See you later.
Yep. You ain't got to go home, but you can't stay here, you know. This is the J Files New Music Friday. Signing out for this semester.
Oh, it's the last one?
It is the last
one.
But I'll see y'all next year. Dang. It's been bittersweet, but I love y'all. Thank you for the energy. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for my parents that always tune in.
Comment if I should co-host.
Comment if you should co-host. Because I'm going for FM next year, so.
Ooh, we got to steal the FM. We got to just get in there and take it.
Well, yeah.